Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm co-host Josh, the J-Man Munt, and sitting next to me in a different state, per usual, like every week, Tanner T-Dogley. How you doing tonight, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. Doing real good. I know we mentioned this last week, but I still can't believe next week will be our 500th episode.
That's wild. Yeah, 499.
Right, crazy.
Now. Yeah. 500. Just crazy. Trying to think. I bet we've done each... I would say we've done at least 485 of them, 480 of them at least, you and I.
Yeah, it might be a safer bet, maybe 475. But yeah, it's definitely over 450. There's no way.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, even if it's just 450, that's like a full year's worth of shows.
Well, I know. I bet you're closer to 4. I bet we're closer to 480.
Yeah,
because it's once a week. It's Mondays, you know. Even a vacation, usually one of our normal vacations, we miss one episode, maybe occasionally two. Yeah.
Hello, can you go see Mama? Okay, it's my kid.
We got her running.
Bye bye. All right, I don't know where her mother is.
That is fantastic. She behaves better than the running I have. That's always down here on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he can't speak English, so it's hard to figure out what he wants. Yeah. But, man, J-Man, we got a lot to talk about tonight. New York Knickerbockers.
Yeah.
NBA champions for the first time in 53 years.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting, but
yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Some of the players are very likable. Their fans, I think.
The team is fairly likable, honestly. Yeah. The guys they have on the team, I don't hate any of them, you know.
Yep, we got that. We have the U.S. Open coming up this week, Thursday through Sunday. So the third major, golf's hardest test, as they call it, Shinnecock Hills. Which last time I was there in 2018, it definitely flared some tempers from some guys. MLB going hot and heavy in the middle of June, like always. So yeah,
trying to think if there was any NFL news at all this week. It's usually, if there is NFL news in June, it's usually not very good.
I mean, the Broncos had a guy, one of their starters, in legal trouble.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Every offseason is always one, every year.
That's the nature of the NFL, though. It seems like you always get it in the NFL. Somebody gets in trouble. It's never like
a role player. It's always a starter.
Yeah.
It seems like, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Role players are easier to cut.
True.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there. But no, not a lot of NFL. I know, I think the Broncos minicamp starts tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever they call that, the spring camp. Because you can do it later now.
Yeah.
Than you've done in the past. I think minicamp.
Minicamp OTAs. Or is it mandatory? Mandatory minicamp?
Am I back?
Yep, you're back. That happened last week about the exact same time in the show, too. Mm-hmm. You froze. But then you
only have one tab open over here. Yeah. Usually sometimes it's too many tabs. I don't know. I've had a difficulty with Streamer lately on my other podcasts I do. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But I got some birdie or bogey for you. It's MLB related.
All right.
Name me the active MLB player who has the most career steals.
Wow. That's a very, very good question. Most career steals. Man, the steal has it has become more part of the game here in the past couple years since they got different rules with disengagements from the pitcher, and they made the bags a little bigger. But there for like previous 7, 8, 10 years before that, it just was kind of a thing of the past. Guys weren't wanting to steal bases. So very, very good question that I have. I have a guess, but I think it's a poor guess. Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Jurettis Plays. Let's see if I can pull it up here, as once again, I forgot to bring it up. Jurettis Plays. That's not it. Here we go. Giretti's Place, small town vibes, big time flavors. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites to keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
And let's see what they've had.
Arlington Public House, too.
Let's see what both places have had going on lately. Checking out their Facebook page. Last week, their Wednesday special at Giretti's, they had a chef salad, and then they had loaded baked potato for soup and creamy chicken and dumplings. And their appetizers to try, broccoli cheddar bites, chips, and salsa. If you can't decide, you can try two of their shareable samplers. Pick any two favorites and enjoy them alongside their chips and salsa for the ultimate appetizer experience.
You know, if somebody gave me a plate of broccoli, I'd look a lot like Kevin Malone trying to eat broccoli on The Office.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan. But this might be more up your alley. The Arlington Public House, their weekend feature was the barbecued rub pork belly mac and cheese.
Sign me up.
Smoky seared pork belly served over rich, creamy cheddar mac and cheese.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, the picture looks really good.
I'm starving.
Really good. Yeah, I'm hungry too. So go check them out. Check out Giretti's for breakfast and lunch and Arlington Public House for dinner. And you will not be disappointed. No matter what you order to eat or drink. We mentioned it at the top of the podcast, but the New York Knicks, NBA champions, they won the series over the San Antonio Spurs 4-1.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't come easy for them. Mm-hmm. They had to come from behind down 29 points in game 4 and then down 16 points in game 5, but they found a way to do it both times.
Yeah, late in each game as well. I didn't watch game 4, but game 5 I watched a good majority of the second half anyway, and it was a 16-point deficit, I think, entering the fourth quarter or pretty dang close to it. You could just feel it, though, for whatever reason.
Absolutely could.
They cut it to 7 or 8. San Antonio just kept missing some bunnies, too. Dylan Harper missed a few layups in that stretch for them. De'Aaron Fox had a horrible series.
Knicks should give him an honorary ring.
Yeah. His contract's one of the worst in sports now. He's due, I think, over $200 million the next 4 years. It's one of those things you see it. You've seen it before where you can have a great career. You can have even a great season, but the lasting memory is going to be that NBA finals. And who knows if he's going to be able to recover from that. Because he's obviously a very, very good player, but it was a very, very poor finals.
And you know, hindsight's 20/20, and it's easy for us to sit here and talk behind microphones and not know exactly what we would have done in the heat of the moment.
Right.
But game 4, you got the ball. He's trying to take it in for a layup to get up 3. You're up 1. They're going to have to foul you. Just dribble it out, man.
Yeah.
They hit your free throws, and you probably win that game. And the whole series, we're probably still talking about the series going on.
Well, 100%.
We are still talking about series. We are still talking about series going on, but we'll probably have we might be sitting here talking about the Spurs up 3-2.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was one of the most confounded. It was a similar moment in a sense to remember when J.R. Smith grabbed that offensive rebound,
absolutely,
against Golden State, LeBron. And dribbles it out. Yeah, and when it was a tie game. And instead of just going back up with it, he thought they were up 1, and he dribbled it out, and it ends up going to overtime. Now, obviously, Cavs ended up winning that series anyway. I think that was that year that they ended up winning.
So look at that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Game 4 in, right J.R. Smith has lost. That, and that's all you think about J.R. Smith for. Pretty good career, but that's what you remember.
Yeah. And that's, I think, De'Aaron Fox, unless he can kind of turn it around here. I don't know. I mean – I assume he's going to be back with the Spurs, but I wouldn't be surprised if they try to unload him, especially with how Dylan Harper played towards the end of the year and into the playoffs. He looked fantastic and looked like one of their best guards there. But good. I mean, good for the Knicks. Can't stand their fans, but honestly, the Knicks team, they're fairly likable. I like Jalen Brunson. I like Josh Hart, Karl-Anthony Towns, OG Anunoby even is I don't hate him either. Mikal Bridges. So it's pretty much it's Villanova, essentially. Those guys have won a lot of games together in college and then obviously now the NBA. But yeah, 1973 last time the Knicks won. It's hard to believe for a New York franchise, although besides the Yankees, the New York franchises haven't done a whole lot. I guess the Giants had a couple good years there.
In the Yankees, you got to go back to 09 for a championship. They had World Series appearance 2 years ago. But
Mets have went to the World Series in 2015, but they haven't won one since, I think, 80. I think it was 86. Last Mets one. Jets haven't won one since the 60s.
Rangers Giants, was 94 for hockey.
Nets have never won one.
They got an ABA one, but not an NBA one.
Yeah, not one that matters. I saw a tweet. It was like, maybe you even sent it. I don't remember. But it's like, man, the Nets should just move back to New Jersey because you're not going to have any fans now.
No.
And that was their goal, is because they kind of moved into Brooklyn when the Knicks were pretty bad. Now no one even cares about the Nets.
Well, remember when we went to New York City, you and I, in 2010, I don't think the Nets had moved yet, but the move was announced.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of advertising for the Nets.
Coming. Right. I remember I had it on my my digital camera back in the day. It was a billboard, the blueprint with Jay-Z, because he was part owner of the Nets, right across from MSG. And the Russian
owner too, right?
Yeah.
They were both on it, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Right across from Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
And now no one even cares about the Nets.
Nope. They're very forgettable. Yeah. But, like, I mean, I'm glad we're talking about this because it kind of leads me into a question. I heard Bill Simmons talking about it with another guy on his podcast or his show, whatever it was today. Who's the lovable loser now of the NBA?
That's a good question. You don't think of iconic franchises being lovable losers because the Celtics have won a ton. Lakers have won a ton. The Bulls, I mean, it's been a long time for the Bulls, but still, they won six.
I'm talking about a team with like quite a drought.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think of one. Why are they the lovable losers, though?
It's because they're there quite often or in the mix, and they can't get over the hump. Like, okay, maybe that was bad wording on my part. Maybe not lovable losers, but like, who's the next franchise that we're looking at as the best franchise that in the NBA that's a drought? Suns, maybe the Timberwolves. I mean, the Pacers and Nets, he wasn't counting because they have ABA titles.
Hmm.
You know, the 76ers have been a long time.
Yeah.
Blazers have been a long time.
Definitely. And both teams have had success. So I would venture to say those two.
Grizzlies don't have enough success or the long-term existence yet.
Houston hasn't won one. I guess they won one in the 90s, didn't they? When Jordan took off.
Mm-hmm.
Beat
the Knicks.
Yeah.
They won two. Beat the Knicks and beat the Magic. They won back-to-back.
They were very lucky Jordan decided to play baseball. But, yeah.
So, I don't know. Jazz, but they haven't really been in championship contention since
not in a while.
Late 1990s, really.
I think D-Will led them to a Western Conference final.
Did he?
I think. But they obviously lost.
Clippers had that good run there, but they couldn't get over the hump.
That was about the only good run they had in a long time.
Yeah.
I think kind of in my mind anyway, Philadelphia kind of takes that a little bit as far as long drought, kind of an iconic franchise.
Yeah.
Where obviously the Knicks are maybe the team you think about. Celtics, Lakers, Knicks. Like those are the three you think about in the NBA.
Yeah.
It was a long time. I mean, it'd been a long time since they'd been there, almost 30 years. So they'd even been there.
Yep.
Alone won it.
Thad says for Tanner, there's good news. The last Yankees win was 2009. I was an Indiana resident. Since we're coming back this year, you'll probably win. Not as long as Aaron Boone's control things.
Yeah.
It won't happen. So, yeah. But I actually watched more of the NBA Finals than I thought I would, to be honest.
The only time I watched was the second half of game five. And that's all I needed, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion.
But you know what, fan base on a national scale or global scale, you know what a fan base is thinking?
That's me, thinking
it could be us next is the Dallas Cowboys. now that the Knicks, you know, the team that ESPN covers exhaustingly, they win it. Now the Cowboys are thinking, okay, their fans are thinking, we're up next. We're you know, they're the team that everybody talks about on the media. And so I've seen some of their fans like, oh, we have hope now type of
thing. Yeah. Cowboys and Knicks, pretty much the exact same. And I hope to God the Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl this year.
Well, and I think I posed this question. I saw the tweet to our group yesterday. It was like, okay, now what? Who's going to be the next one in all sports to end the drought? Right away, a lot of Notre Dame football fans in the comments because it's been since 88. Yeah. They've made it multiple times, but it's been since 88. So
they're set up to win it. I think they'll
probably. Their schedule's pretty easy this year.
Schedule's easy. They just got to win in the playoffs. They can't blow a game early like they've been doing. But no, Notre Dame's probably a team that or a fan base that I understand would be one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Notre Dame fans are going to say that. Cowboys fans are going to say that. MLB, I guess both New York teams could say that. But
yeah, Mets fans for sure. Obviously, Yankees were just in a World Series 2 years ago.
Right.
But
yeah, other than that, I mean, of course, you got like Browns fans, but they even know they're not.
They don't even close. Count. Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
Bills fans. Yeah, they got their four straight times, but I don't think they're ever going to win one with Josh Allen as quarterback.
Ooh. Yeah. All right, you're putting it out there.
Book it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That means they're going to win it this year.
No, definitely. Definitely means that for sure. You're welcome.
NBA draft next week.
Is it really? Wow. Next Thursday.
NBA. Did you realize it's a 2-day event now?
I want to say no, but I think yes, because I think last year or the year before they started, I'm like, why is correct. The second round not even being done tonight? Yeah.
So you have that's the first stupid. Round one night, second round the next night now.
No one cares about the NBA draft. They try to make it like the NFL. No one cares about it like they do the NFL. Although nope. This NBA draft class is loaded.
Right.
It tries it. No one's wanting to tune into the second round of the NBA draft.
No. No. That movie, that book, it just threw a spear to half of New England, J-Man.
I didn't believe in New England once last year, even when they went to the Super Bowl. They had the easiest road to it, that Super Bowl, especially with Bo Nix hurting his leg.
I was just thinking about that today.
Yeah.
It's sad how often I think about that. Yeah. But, you know, my draft interest, I'm interested to see if Braden Smith's going to get drafted. I don't think Trey Kaufman ran, even though he's helped himself a lot the last few months of even getting a conversation by being a potential late second round pick. I don't think he will. But of course, and seeing where the other Big Ten guys land, that's right. All I really care about.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot of Big Ten guys in that first round. Nope. I mean, you'll see obviously Landeborg and Rez Johnson. Although the big three at Michigan all go in the first round. Wagler will go in the first round. Bennett Sturt's got an invite to the draft, so he'll be a likely lottery pick. Trying to think who else is a top candidate for the Big Ten. Obviously, you see the national guys. It'll be fascinating who can go number one because you have Darren Pearson. I don't know if you read this today. He only set up a visit with the Washington Wizards, and he's not setting up a visit with anyone else. So he is very confident for a guy that refused to play in second half of a lot of games so that he's going number one. Carlos Boozer's son, what's his first name?
Cameron.
It's fascinating. It could be AJ from BYU. It could be a whole litany of players that could go number one. We don't really know until it happens. We're usually in the NFL, you have a pretty good idea who's going to be number one overall. And for a lot of times in the NBA, you have a really good idea who's going to go number one overall. This year, it could be four or five different guys that go there.
Yeah. Which is, like you said, that means it's a stacked draft, and that's great for other teams. You know, that was one thing I heard Knicks fans whining, in their rejoice going back on like the Ewing finger roll and this and that. Yeah. And, the draft where Zion went one and, gosh, I don't remember who went to, and they end up with the
RJ Barrett. Yeah.
But who went to that draft?
Zion went one, RJ Barrett three.
Yeah. Ja Morant went two. Steph Curry went seventh overall when they had the eighth pick. You know, just
yeah,
things like that. So which you do that when you finally get
it happens. Top,
you think about a lot of trials and tribulations and breaks you didn't get, but yeah, where I was trying to go with that is I think anybody in the top five, any team with the top five picks, gonna be in good shape this year.
Absolutely. And I'll obviously be tuning in just to see where Wachler goes. This would be four for the Illinois hadn't had a guy drafted since Myers Leonard until Io DeSumo went in the second round. That was 2012. And now they will have four first round picks over the last three seasons. So they've turned it around significantly. And my interest in the NBA draft has peaked for sure.
Well, it's nice just to have some guys in the league that you like to box score check once in a while.
Exactly. And then that's pretty much all I do in the NBA anymore. Yeah. 'Cause for years there was a stretch where there was only one guy in the league, and that was Myers Leonard. But then there was a stretch where the only guy in the league was Brandon Paul. And he played 64 games or something like that in the NBA. And that was it for Illinois guys. And that was pretty pathetic.
Yeah, Purdue's had a pretty good run with at least somebody in the league since about the mid-2010s.
Yeah.
But before that, there was a stretch after Carl Landry. Robbie Hummel-Nitwa. There was a 5-year stretch there.
Yeah.
And it was pretty bleak because Eaton was the only one for a while in the league.
Yeah.
So after Carl Landry retired and Robbie only had a cup of coffee, really, like 2 years, Juwan flamed out real quick.
Yeah.
But then Vince Edwards got drafted. Carson Edwards got drafted. Jaden Ivey, of course. Zach Edey, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. We will see. And thoughts on the Bulls, new head coach Thiago Splitter.
he did a heck of a job once Chauncey Billups got busted by the FBI, taking over as interim, leading them to the playing game. I think they made the playoffs. I think they were the eighth seed.
They got swept.
They did by Oklahoma City. But I don't know.
Why didn't Portland hire him?
So Portland's owner is the cheapest owner in sports.
Yeah.
It's only been his first or second year as owner, but he has literally gone around and said he's going to hire the cheapest guy out there.
Oh, that works well.
There was something about their travel to the NBA playoffs this year too that was very bad. Like they almost had to beg him to charter a plane or something like that. They would have been sitting in a plane with just normal people. Super, super cheap guy, and it's not going to go well for him. They should have hired him, but I'm glad. I don't know anything about NBA head coaches,
I don't know if I can name it 10.
I'd struggle. I wouldn't know. I mean, I wouldn't have known San Antonio's head coach until a couple days ago.
Man, he deserves to get fired, in my opinion. He won't.
His
game management, some of those
games. It was bad. He's a young guy.
Yeah, he is.
Popovich would have won a title, though, in his prime with that group, for sure.
Oh, 100%. What head coaching job openings are there in the NBA?
Portland.
Is that it?
That's all I can think of. I mean, Bulls were filled.
Mavericks. Mavericks are also
open. Oh, Dallas is open. I couldn't.
They parted ways with Jason Kidd.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, honestly.
Yeah, Dallas was the job to have a few years ago. Now nobody really wants them.
Well, those idiots. Well, the guy who traded away Luka also lowballed Jalen Brunson. Traded Luka for nothing, really. They got a first round pick out. They ended up getting Cooper Flagg with it, who's going to be a very good one. But that was more, I think, the NBA conspiracy. They're like, hey, send Luka to LA. We'll give you the number one overall pick. They got what, like 30 games of Anthony Davis and then Cam Christie. That was it for Luka. So,
yep.
That was pretty bad. Pretty poor. Yep. Porous.
Yep. Like, if you were out there you were an NBA qualified coach and you could have any job in NBA you wanted, would you go for more the prestigious job or the win now job?
I'd go to the job with the most job security. So a rebuild, in a sense. It might be difficult for a few years, but I mean, there was talk. Mike Brown had been with the Knicks 1 year, and there were talks when they were down whatever it was in whatever round. I don't even remember. They were down 2-1 or something like that. Like, if he loses this series, he's fired. Here he is, an NBA champion now.
Yep.
It's just – it's crazy.
He got the raw deal in Cleveland.
He did.
When he was there.
Sure. He kind of got a raw deal, and even in Sacramento, they fired him midseason.
Oh, I forgot he was in
Sacramento. He led him to the playoffs for the first time in 15, 20 years almost.
Yeah, nobody's done anything with that job except Arbach.
Exactly.
Who just passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yes, he did. Not Arbach.
Why is his name escaping me? You know what I'm thinking of. And it says that
Rick Adelman.
Yeah, Adelman. I knew it started with an A, though.
Red Auerbach's been dead for a long time.
If he's coaching, we got problems.
Rick Adelman. Yeah, I went with it because it sounded all right. Like, but no. No.
Thank you. No.
Yeah.
I hate when I do that, too. Like, I know the letter, and I just say something in confidence, and I keep rolling.
You said it so confidently that I didn't even catch it. Until, it wasn't an hour back, was it?
Yeah, I know his son's not loved out there in Denver right now.
No. It'll be a fascinating offseason. I think Denver is a fascinating team because I don't think they can compete with Oklahoma City or San Antonio anymore. I think they'll be very, very good, but they're kind of getting older, and it'll be interesting to see what they do to try to build around Jokic, because I don't know if it's time to like maybe cut ties with Jamal Murray and try something different there, or Aaron Gordon.
It sounds like Gordon might be the one that could be leaving. But they have the fifth best odds, but the other four are like so far ahead of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't even really think about it. So I think their window's really close to closing.
Yeah. Running it back with this group, you can do it for a year maybe, but you might 48 and 34, 50 and 32.
Well, it'll be about the same seed you were this year.
Exactly.
Your wife, Megan Month on Facebook. Sorry for the tiny human. It was pajama day. And yes, that was her Easter basket she was carrying.
Yeah, she made a couple.
No need to apologize.
A couple different appearances.
No need to apologize today, at all.
So, she's in a good mood tonight, which is always good. You never know with a 2.5-year-old.
any other thoughts around the NBA?
My blind rank is NBA related.
All right,
this week, Jalen Brunson won MVP, well deserved after his 45-point game. He was one of just a handful of point guards to ever win the NBA Finals MVP, believe it or not. So I have 5 Finals MVPs that were point guards on this list. So you rank them, starting with Tony Parker.
TP, man from France. Solid spur for many years, even though then he ended up his career, I think, at the end was a Hornet.
Yes.
I always thought he was an idiot for his off-the-court stuff.
Correct.
I mean, the guy was married to Eva Longoria when in her heyday when she was, even though she doesn't age, when she was on Desperate Housewives. I'm like, man, how'd you screw that up? But anyways, Tony Parker, very good player, kind of gets forgotten about on the Spurs team, gets overshadowed by Duncan and a little bit of Manu Ginobili a little.
Sure.
Put him at 3.
Okay.
Cop out 3.
Isaiah Thomas.
Can't stand him for many reasons. Yeah. Of course, he played in the NBA, but that was before I was born. Even the Pistons. I don't remember him playing at all, even as a Piston.
Yeah.
But I remember him as the Pacers coach. I remember him as the Knicks coach and GM. I remember
he was bad. He was a bad exec.
Yeah, he was awful at everything he thought. He was FIU's coach, Florida International.
Forgot about that.
I just think he's a jerk, but he's a better player than Tony Parker. So I can't think of other point guards. I'm putting him at 1.
All right. Jerry West.
The logo, didn't think about that one as a point guard. Pretty darn good player. I'll put him at 2. I mean, he's the logo.
Yeah. Chauncey Billups.
I'm good with him at 4 or 5. I'm glad I put a good player. But I don't think he's as good as people remember him for, just because this helps his case, the finals MVP on that team. But that team was just a good team. They didn't have any standout guys.
No.
Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Tayshaun Chauncey.
Prince. Man, that Tayshaun was a good team, though.
Prince. Oh, yeah, very. I mean, they fit perfectly.
Yeah.
I'll put him at 5.
I think you're going to hate putting Tony Parker at 3. Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Man, I always forget he was 6'8", who played point guard. Yeah, I got to put him at 4. But a re-rank, we're putting Magic 1, Isaiah 2, Jerry West 3, Tony Parker 4, Chauncey Billups 5.
That's fair. Maybe I might flop or switch Thomas and West, but other than that,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I screwed that up pretty bad. But that's my own fault. I couldn't think of point guards in my head. Yeah. You know, I wasn't even thinking about the 6'8 guy.
Well, I mean, I wanted to put more the older generation on there because, like, Steph Curry was on there, and he would have been way up there and stuff like that.
It's so hard, too, because sometimes I consider those guys shooting guards.
Yeah.
Even though they're thick like
a park. Yeah, Steph's not a true one at all. He's definitely a 2.
You know, my head goes right to Iverson. I'm like, he didn't win one. He lost.
Yeah.
I go to a lot of point guards that lost. Jason Kidd. Steve Nash never got there, did he?
I don't think he did, no.
My gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah. Gary Payton got there with the Lakers, but they lost.
He got there with the Sonics, my Sonics.
Did he?
Lost to Jordan in 96.
Couldn't tell you that.
Before they went, that was Jordan's first championship back after baseball.
Oh, okay.
They beat the Sonics, then they went back-to-back against the Jazz.
Yes. So, I remember the Jazz.
Yep. So, but good blind rankings. I like that one. That was a good one. The blind ranking segment is brought to you by this week, like it is every week in 2026, by Proforma Prince 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026 or in 2027, since we are halfway, we are literally at the halfway point, 2026 today, because we're halfway through the halfway month, halfway point month.
Yeah, we're exactly whatever. Halfway through Thank the year, you. Huh?
Yeah. So they have over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print, and they strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call, 574-210-3815. Yeah, I didn't word that correctly, but we are halfway through June, which June is the halfway, it's the 6th month out of 12. Yeah. So we got to be like halfway through the year, right?
Gotta be, unless
I mean,
unless it's the end of June is the halfway.
Yeah,
it'd be end of June is halfway. Because halfway through a month doesn't make sense to be the halfway point. Because go,
but after June, when July's the 7th month.
I know, but hold on, January, February, March, April, May, June, 6, July. August, September, October, November, December, 6.
Yeah.
So it'd be June, July, June 30th, July 1 would be about halfway. Right.
Yeah. I'm glad we talked this out. I feel better.
Me too. Me too.
I feel worse about myself, but I feel better overall. Yeah. I just got educated. So,
yeah. Speaking of, do you want to be educated? Do you want to get,
I always.
Do you want to educate me?
Yes. Let me pull it up. Yep. We both need it.
Clearly. Very clearly.
Let's see here. Sporting events on this day on June 15th, which is not the halfway point through the year. a lot of British Open, but those are some really old ones. Wow. On this day, 1928, the Philadelphia Athletics baseball star, this guy's on our list all the time, Ty Cobb, stole home for a record 54th time.
Man, have you been? I'm sure you haven't been following the College World Series at all.
No.
So West Virginia made the College World Series for the first time ever this year.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
In their first run, they scored was a straight steal of home. On whenever
that's awesome
day that was Friday maybe. Yeah,
that's awesome. On this day, 1953, New York Yankees first baseman Johnny Mize became the 93rd MLB player to get 2,000 hits.
Hmm. We're what we're up to now.
I think I'm more surprised. 93 back by 1953. I mean,
yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to pronounce that guy's name. There's a horse racing.
Well,
man. A lot of U.S. Open golf. All right. Okay, I'll give you a golf one. On this day, 1980, who won the U.S. Open?
I'm just going to go with Jack. That's about
Jack Nicklaus. Set a new tournament scoring record of 272, which was 8 under then, to win his fourth Open title.
U.S. Open, they like them right around even, right?
Usually they try.
Yeah.
Yeah. On this day, 1983, the Cardinals traded Keith Hernandez to the Mets for Neil Allen and Rick Ohnmye.
Legendary Seinfeld actor.
Mm-hmm. He was in an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, too.
That's right.
Mini Just for Men commercials. On this day, 1986, who won the U.S. Open?
I'm going to go with Gary Player.
And I bring this up because it was in Shinnecock Hills, where this year's this. Raymond Floyd won his fourth and final major. Two strokes ahead of Chip Beck and Lanny Watkins. On this day, 1994, the New York Giants cut Super Bowl MVP quarterback Phil Sims after 15 years of service with the team.
Who took over? 94. Couldn't tell you. No idea. We were two.
The first Giants quarterback I remember was Kerry Collins in the early 2000s.
I was going to say, it probably wasn't him then, was it?
No, he was a Panther.
94. I'm going to have to go look it up.
Yep. On this day, 1997, who won the U.S. Open?
Probably not Tiger yet, was it?
Wasn't Tiger. Even though he won the Masters that year, but he did not win the U.S. Open.
Should I know this guy?
You've heard of him. He's a Hall of Famer.
Ernie Els.
Oh, won his second Open title. The second of his four major championships, one stroke ahead of runner-up Colin Montgomery.
Pulled that out of nowhere.
On this day in 2001, who won the NBA Finals?
2001, that would have been the L.A. Lakers.
The Lakers back-to-back over the Philadelphia 76ers five-game series. Who was MVP?
Shaq
for the second straight year.
I just saw the MVPs. I was looking it up for the blind rank, and Shaq was on there, I think, three straight times.
On this day in 2003, who won the NBA Finals?
2003 was the Spurs.
The Spurs beat the New Jersey Nets in six games for the franchise second title, first since the 99 season. Who was the MVP?
Timmy
Duncan.
Timmy.
Also on this day in 2003, who won the U.S. Open for golf?
2003. That was Tiger.
It was not Tiger.
No.
It was Jim Furyk, won his only major title. Who won the NBA Finals on this day in 2004?
That was Pistons. Nope. Pistons were 05, right? Or was Pistons 04?
Pistons was 04. Beat the Lakers in five games.
Spurs were 05.
To complete one of the greatest upsets in NBA history, MVP, we said earlier, Chauncey Billups. Spurs were 05. I mean, the Lakers were going for a four-peat.
Pretty good.
They were in 04. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. The Spurs won in 03. We just said that.
It's Monday. Primary starting quarterback for the New York Giants in 94 was Dave Brown. Who started?
What a generic name.
It really is. He's like the name they give you when you start making a player on MLB show or something.
Yep.
Dave Brown. Kent Graham also saw playing time starting one game. I've never heard of him either.
Heard of Kent Graham. But couldn't tell you anything about him, but I've heard of him.
No.
On this thing, 2011, who was
Tanner's frozen again.
on this day in 2011, who won the Stanley Cup?
Blackhawks won in 2010, right? I don't know. Don't even have a guess. LA Kings.
Blackhawks what? I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with my...
Blackhawks won in 2010. I don't even know who won in 2011.
The Boston Bruins defeated the Vancouver Canucks in 7 games, ending their 39-year Stanley Cup drought. The Carolina Hurricanes are the NHL Stanley Cup champions this year. On the same 2014, who won the NBA Finals?
2014, that had to have been the Miami Heat, right?
Spurs beat the Heat.
Shoot.
To win their 5th NBA championship in franchise history, who was the MVP?
Was that Manu or was that Kawhi? Did he win an MVP? Well,
Kawhi Leonard.
He won 2 MVPs, NBA Finals MVPs.
I was thinking 2014, who won the U.S. Open?
14, I couldn't tell you. Rory.
Martin Keimer led wire to wire to win his 2nd major victory. He won it over 8 strokes over Eric Compton and Ricky Fowler.
That was a boring Sunday, huh?
Yeah, it was. I mean, my guy got 2nd. I was happy for him, but Martin just blew the field away.
Martin, I used to play with him every once in a while in the Tiger Woods games that I'd always beat you at.
Yeah, you did have my number. On his day 2015, who won the Stanley Cup?
15, that would be the LA Kings.
That would be the Chicago Blackhawks.
Blackhawks.
Defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2 for their 6th championship. On this day in 2019, a baseball jersey belonging to Babe Ruth became the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia to date when it sold for $5.64 million at auction.
Who's buying
that? I'm sure that's been passed.
Probably.
Also on this day in 2019, there was a blockbuster NBA trade as the New Orleans Pelicans sent forward Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers for Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Josh Hart, and 3 future first-round draft picks, including the number 4 pick.
That was that long ago, huh?
Yep.
Pelicans haven't done crap since.
Nope. And on this day last year, who won the U.S. Open?
Scotty? Was that when he got arrested? Or was that a different tourney?
That was the PGA Championship a couple years ago. No, it was not Scotty. He was an American, though.
American, not Scotty. I don't know.
Guy hit a 60-foot walk-in birdie putt to clinch it on the last hole. JJ Spahn.
No idea.
Yep. He's won a little bit. So he's been
I've heard of him. Cup team. I don't remember that at all, though.
But that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. We did a lot of U.S. Open talk there on this day. So that leads me to my question for you. Who are you picking to win the U.S. Open?
This will be the J-Man's Bucket Prediction of the Week. Bryson DeChambeau will win this week. He will win. I have a feeling in my bones. I'm just kidding. I don't think it wins, but that's going to be my bucket. I'm going to curse him because I don't like him. So I'm okay with
that. The guy hasn't made the cut in either major this year. So.
I know. It's all me, too. I take full responsibility.
Bryson is 9th in odds. When's the last time Bryson's been down a 9th in odds?
Oh, yeah. J-Man's Book of Bridges Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Lime Home Auto. Business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. Book it.
Your top 10 in odds. 10th place is Brooks Koepka. If he, we'll see if he can play. he was in contention up in Canada this week and withdrew after a Saturday round. He had a hand injury, which he couldn't feel two of his fingers. Kind of hard to grip the golf club if you can't feel all five of your fingers.
That's not fun.
He's 10th in odds. Ludvig Åberg, 8th. Tommy Fleetwood, 7th. Matt Fitzpatrick, 6th. Cameron Young, 5th. Xander Schauffele, 4th. John Rahm, 3rd. Rory McIlroy, 2nd. And your favorite, like he is every time he steps on the golf course anymore, Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
Who do I want? I don't want any of those guys. Let's see here. Let me go a little down the list a little bit. I so wish Ricky Fowler would do it so I could talk about him winning a major title on our 500th episode, but he's not going to. I mean, he's missed his last two cuts he's played. Man. Kind of like Patrick Reed at 4,500 odd, but I'm not going to go with him. Let's go with Chris Goddard.
I've literally never heard of him.
I didn't expect you to. He'd be a first-time major winner. Chris Goddard, why not? 4,500 odds.
What's his...
I'm really bad at this.
What spot is that in line?
Let's see. So Brooks 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. Tied for 19th.
Okay.
With Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, and Patrick Reed. JJ Spahn is right behind that, the defending champion.
All right.
Ricky's not even on this list, which lists probably top 60. Yeah, that's good for me, though. That means I'm going to put a $5 bet on them again.
Absolutely.
It's always a $5 donation. But it's always, I always like watching the U.S. Open because guys struggle. It makes me feel better about myself and my golf game. So yeah. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like, but Shinnecock Hills, we'll see.
Where is Shinnecock Hills at?
I want to say it's in Oklahoma. Nope. Long Island, New York.
Ah.
Not even close. I wonder what I was thinking there was. Oh, well. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see next Monday on our 500th. We'll be talking about somebody winning a major.
Yeah.
So, but let's get talking about some baseball to wrap up the last portion of the podcast, which I do want to bring up a question my dad had for you. He wanted to know your opinion or your answer.
All right.
He said, ask Josh what position players he would trade PCA for straight up.
Straight up? That's a very good question. As of right now, PCA is leading the National League in wins above replacement, which means he's been literally the most valuable player in the National League to date. He's one of four players on pace for a 2020 season. Straight up. Man. Put me on
and my spot. Dad off for Bobby Witt Jr. question mark.
Maybe.
Ohtani as DH question mark.
No. I want to say Aaron Judge, but he's 34 years old.
Yeah, he's little, gets bit by the injury bug once in a while.
And he does that too. Shohei maybe. Shohei for sure if he can pitch.
My Reds fans out there, LA De La Cruz.
No, I wouldn't trade PCA for LA at all. Shohei for sure. What am I talking about? He's a Hall of Famer. Trying to go team by team here. Shohei for sure. No one else in the NL Central, unless I'm picking pitchers. Then I'm
not pitchers.
Just because I'm like I'm trading PCA for Skeens or Mizorowski or. There's nobody else. No one in the AL Central. No one in the. I mean, I'd trade PCA for Aaron Judge's production. But again, he's 34 years old. No one on Toronto or Baltimore, Boston. No one in the AL West. Maybe Nick Kurtz. I love Nick Kurtz from Oakland from Athletics.
Sacramento.
They did play in Vegas over the weekend though. Obviously a new stadium, but Shohei for sure. I'd think about Corbin Carroll. in Arizona. I love him, but I think PCA is better. It's a good question, though. A very few guys I'd trade him for.
Up. And here's another question. This was potentially going to be your other birdie or bogey, but I decided not to go with it. Who's the last Cub to hit for the cycle?
Carson Kelly last year in Sacramento. Yeah. Before it was Mark Grace in 1993. They had a good 22-year drought.
Yep. I had remembered. I couldn't have told you it's Carson Kelly, but I had remembered we had just talked about somebody doing it last year. So yeah. I'm not giving them that.
It was the second series of the year that he did it in Sacramento. I think it was the opening game of the A's playing in Sacramento. He did it, which is crazy because he's a catcher, and the last one he needed was a triple, and he got it.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, which it helped. He hit it high and far, obviously. that the center fielder jumped thinking he'd catch it and it bounced off the wall away. That's the only way you got a triple out. Yeah. But
so how are you feeling about the Cubs right now? Your Twitter said goodbye to them about 4 days ago, 5 days ago in the Rocky series.
Yep. Yeah, goodbye. It was a mediocre week. They're losing 2 out of 3 to that Rockies team is pathetic, especially
who they're starting a series with tonight.
It's you have to sweep. There's no excuse not to sweep at home. You need to get back winning games. It looked like they started to turn a corner with the offense over the weekend, where they did win 3 of 3 straight games, and they won their first series since the turn of the 20th century. Then they just laid an egg yesterday, which a lot of it had to do with Logan Webb. I mean, Logan Webb's been one of the most consistently great starters in the league for the past 4 or 5 years. But their at-bats just weren't overly competitive yesterday. But they did show some good stuff Thursday, Friday, Saturday. PCA's been awesome. As I said, he's one of just 4 guys on pace for a 2020 season. There's not a single player on pace for a 30 homer, 30 steal season, which we had 7 guys get there last year, but not a single one. Pitching still stinks. Colin Ray's bad. They did get a good start from Imanaga last week, as well as Edward Cabrera. Ben Brown was good again. Javi Assad filling in Matt Boyd's spot until he's ready. It's just they have to sweep this week. There's no excuse. If they lose 2 of 3, it's over for sure. I already said goodbye. And I just don't think their pitching's good enough to really get back into it, although they are tied for the final wild
card. I was gonna say they're right there in the wild card.
Winning 20 of 23 earlier in the year helps significantly. It gives you a little bit of leeway, but they've gotten rid of all of that leeway, and now it's time to start winning games again. But we'll see how it goes. I'm not feeling worse than I was this time last week, but wouldn't say I'm feeling that much better.
Last week you said they had to go what, 4-2, 5-1?
4-2 at the very minimum. 5-1 would be acceptable, but they get blown out game 1. Okay, that happens. Game 2 in Colorado is the one that gets you, because you're facing Michael Lorenzen and his 8 ERA. You score 1 run off him. And then they blow a lead in the 8th inning, and then they end up tying it in the 9th and then giving up a run, a walk-off. That's the game that really stands out, because you can handle winning 2 or 3 and yep. against anyone, really. But to lose 2 or 3 in the way they did is just bad. And then they bounce back a little bit, as I said, against San Francisco, winning their first series in feels like years, although it was just last month. But now's the time. Your schedule gets difficult really after this week. That's why you have to sweep Colorado, have to take 2 or 3 from Toronto at home, and then I think they have to go to New York Mets and then to Milwaukee. Then they get the Cardinals, and yeah, just gotta start stacking series still. I mean, not even halfway through, not even really all that close to halfway through the season. So figure it the F out, please. Please.
There you go.
Yeah. Fire there you go. Too, while you're at it.
You know, the other team across the city of Chicago,
they're playing some fan base. Yeah.
Pretty excited.
They
still.
They should be pretty excited. They won, I think, 4 or 5 this week against the.
They beat some good teams.
Two best teams in the National League. Yeah, the Braves and the Dodgers. I was texting with a White Sox fan today that he sent me a screenshot of what I said earlier in the season. Maybe it was earlier in the season or maybe it was in the offseason. I can't remember. But he sent me a screenshot. Let's see what I said here.
He's keeping receipts, huh?
He is, clearly. I said. It was pretty funny what I said, honestly. I said, we'll be long dead before the White Sox sniff the postseason again. And he goes, unless we're dead in before October, this looks like a bad take after this.
Oh, boy. He set himself up for disappointment.
Exactly. I said, I stand by it because I do. Although I did say, I think they'll stay in contention just due to the fact that the AL Central is bad. But I said, let's revisit in August. But then we got talking about the MLB draft and all that.
Oh, boy.
Don't want to bore you with that. But, yeah, he's keeping receipts. People like to keep receipts on me because I say a lot of dumb stuff.
Well, you and me both. That's why we've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of cold takes out there over 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Plenty more to come, too.
Oh, yes. Anything else surprising you right now in baseball? I know, like you said, we're not there, but.
Surprising-wise, team-wise, I wouldn't say there's any surprise.
Besides, are the Pirates surprising you at all?
No, I think I pegged them right around 500, and that's exactly where they're at. Again, I'm never picking the Brewers not to win the NL Central again because this team on paper should not be, but they get – Jacob Mizorowski's turned into maybe the best starter in the National League. Then you add Kyle Harrison, who stunk with the Giants and then with the Red Sox. And now he's with the Brewers and he's one of the best lefties in the league. It's just what they do. It's annoying. I would say Cardinals are a surprise so far, 38 and 31. They're in a playoff spot right now. Don't know how sustainable that is. But again, that keeps catching up with me. Obviously that I'm saying that stuff. Other than that, surprise bad teams so far this year. I wouldn't say there's a team that's all that surprising. They stink. The Washington Nationals are 2 games over .500. That might be a little bit of a surprise. They played some good baseball. Marlins are at .500. I can hear, I think, your wife talking on the phone, maybe.
No, it's the TV downstairs. Oh. She's watching because somebody came up and he wanted out, then he wanted in, then he wanted out. Now he threw his way into the door, and I don't feel like going to close it anymore. Now he's laying down.
It sounded like she was talking on the phone because I heard.
It's just the volume's cranked up to about 40.
I heard somebody say Tanner in there, so it's been quite the show tonight.
Yeah, it has been. But no, it's I can't hear that. Oh, I can maybe unless you got supersonic hearing, I can hear the TV, but maybe.
Yeah, no, I it was probably the TV.
I was watching some Netflix murder thing, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. It's right up my alley, for sure.
That's all it's ever on. But birdie or bogey?
Yeah.
Visiting that. Name me the active MLB player with the most career steals.
I have two fellas that pop into my brain that have been around for a long time, so I'm hoping it's one of them. But I guarantee it's probably not. And I'm going to go with the guy I thought of first, and that's Michael Trout.
No.
The second person was Jose Altuve.
He is third.
Ah, shoot. Who is it?
Starling Marte with 361.
Oh, man. Wasn't even on my radar. Probably should have been because he did steal a lot of bases back in the game. Yeah. Honestly, didn't know he was still active. I knew he was with the Mets Royals last year. He's with the Royals. Didn't know that. So, it's a good
can question. You tell me his number two?
What teams he play for?
I used to know, but I don't know if he's on the same team. He's a Philly.
Oh, Trey Turner.
Yep.
Trey Turner would have been a better guess than Mike Trout because Trout stopped stealing bases like 7 or 8 years ago, but he stole a lot of them in that stretch.
Right. Health's also been a big thing with him.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't, yeah. He kind of stopped stealing them even before he started getting hurt. But. Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll try to be better next week.
It's our 500th. I mean, if we're not getting it by 500, then we better just quit. So
have a fantastic week, everybody.